Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and you are here with us again this wonderful Monday as we take on another broadcast of Boots on the Ground Talk Show. And I am so pleased to be able to have our special guest with us tonight. For those of you who are just tuning in to our show for the very first time, again, I am Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. And Boots on the Ground is created as a way of being able to provide a voice for those who may not be as well known in the community but are working in the trenches to bring about awareness and change in the areas of domestic violence and sexual assault. It may be human trafficking. It may be in some other means of being able to inspire or empower individuals to transition from victim to victorious. And this is not just a show for those who are lesser known. It's also for those who may be more highly profile but still work in that same mission. Walking Into a New Life's mission is to stop domestic violence and help stabilize victims through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year, most of which are of no cost at all. We do have a few that are of minimal cost, but that is our purpose, that is our mission, and that is, again, the reason that we created Boots on the Ground in the first place. So I am so very pleased to have with us today a very good friend of mine, and I was trying to remember how she and I met, and I honestly cannot remember, so hopefully she can. But the great thing about our relationship is that it doesn't matter how we met. It's the fact that we have been somewhat joined at the hip ever since. So that really kind of speaks to what her organization is about and why she's a great fit for tonight's show. So I, at this time, will present to others and introduce to some none other than Ms. Cheryl Piggies Crank. So, Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joyce. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the show. Do you remember how we met?
No. Oh, you know what? Yes, wait a minute. We met at a Nicole Gates event.
Okay.
Now, I think that was her book signing, I want to say.
Okay. Well, and the thing about Nicole is that she, especially if it was back at that time, she hosted a lot of different events and was really, and still is engaged in the community, but I know she was really heavily into doing some things, so it wouldn't surprise me if that's where we met. But like I said, it doesn't really matter how we met. The fact is that we have a kindred spirit, and we have been going at the hip ever since, so I'm just so pleased to have you on the show with us tonight.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Well, I know a lot about you, but I want you to take just a few moments, if you will, to tell our listening audience about who you are and about Sister Girl, because that is really going to be the focal point of our discussion for today. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you. Please share what you will.
Well, let me see here. I'm a native Memphian. We moved to Memphis, I guess, when I was about like 10 or 11 years old. Out of Springfield, Illinois. Oldest of six. Fast forwarding. Went back and got my bachelor's degree at age 45. And I went back and got that because I was trying to get a job. Even though I had been working, I was trying to get a job, but I needed a bachelor's degree. And so even though when I graduated from high school, I was determined that I was not going to go to nobody else's school because I felt like 12 years was enough. Even though I was a brainiac, graduated fourth in my class, had scholarship galore. I didn't care. I was not going to go back to school. Matter of fact, right after I got out of high school, I started working for the post office. I had a job. I was making money. So I wasn't going back. But needless to say, I did not stay at the post office. matter of fact, I just kind of like found a piece of paper on the floor one day and said, I do sure the piggy quit effective today and never did go back.
Wow.
And folks were having heart attacks. I mean, and I was going strictly on pay. I mean, I had been post office almost 12 years, but I was just sick of them. Just stay it up. But anyway, went back, got my bachelor's degree, I got my social computer science, got my bachelor's in business management. In fact, getting ready to go back, pursuing my master's in organizational management. But so that's basically my education piece. Native Memphian, love Memphis, died hard Memphian, moved away three different times, moved back to Memphis. Am I going to stay in Memphis? I don't know. But right now, I like it. I want to help change my community, hence Sister Girl. I want baby to help our community change via connecting with women that do not understand that they don't need to be out here by themselves because of what they may be going through. They need to connect and collaborate with somebody. And I know we always want to have our own, do our own thing, but you don't have to walk this journey by yourself. And I'm going to say that with the understanding that, because I know that your focus is DD, and I know I have never shared my story with DD. As a matter of fact, I'm writing my story, but my story from a different perspective. I grew up in a household where DD was the norm. My mom, my dad fought all the time. I mean, that was just their MO. I didn't understand it, but I know growing up, it seemed to be what my mom experienced, what my aunt experienced. As a matter of fact, I can remember, I think it was about like 9 or 10, my mom and dad were fighting in the kitchen. You know, my mom was on the floor and my dad was just going at it. Me being the oldest and not understanding, but now that I've gotten older, I do understand, you know, don't understand about the fighting or understand about the insecurity. I understand about the insecurities of adults. I understand about having low self-esteem as an adult. I don't still don't understand why you got to hit folks. You know, that piece I still can't wrap my mind around. And needless to say that even though my parents fought, my auntie fought, I moved in with a guy, my boyfriend, if you will. And him and I used to fight. And I used to tell my mom, call my aunt, and stuff like that, you know, Harmony and I are fighting the way, you know. But that's what, you know, they do when this kind of stuff. And I can understand. I can tell my mom is deceased now, telling her that, well, Mom, you had six children and you didn't have an education. And I mean, it came out, you know, my mom graduated from high school. She did eventually go back to school. As a matter of fact, she got her degree at age 45 from Lemoore and Owen College in Memphis. Yeah. I got my degree at age 45 from Lemoore.
Yeah, I was just thinking that same thing, yes.
But, and needs to say, I had a baby. My daughter's father was abusive. He used to, jump on me. He would drink. He was an alcoholic. He would lock me in the closet. He would cut up my clothes, you know. And I was like, I didn't understand what was going on. At that time, you know, who was I to reach out to? Who was there to help me? I went to who I thought would help me. But because they had lived that cycle, their parents had lived that cycle, getting out was not an option, according to my mom, according to my aunt, according to them. So I thought I didn't have an option. But what my mom told me, And I had to tell you, I said, I got one baby, and I got a job, you know, so I don't have to sit and take these bills for me every Friday. But
right,
you know what?
Right.
And it's funny now, but needless to say, you know, Herman, that's his name, did not start fighting me until he got a job making more money. Because I worked in the post office, I was always making money. I have always made money. So money wasn't no thing to me. But he was teaching school. So I made like four times as much money as he did. But when he got a different job, making twice as much money as me, that's when I realized, okay, all the time he had low self-esteem. He didn't, I don't understand. I'm thinking, now it's just me, I'm thinking that he didn't understand that we were in this journey together. Because
together.
If I was into it for the money, I certainly wouldn't be with no broke man. That's for sure.
Not when you're used to making your own money. And let me put a pin in that for just a moment, because you brought up several points that I think need to be reiterated. And for those who may just be tuning in, this is Boots on the Ground Talk Radio Show. I am Joyce Kyle, the Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. We want to thank each and every person who is tuning in with us today and listening in. We do have the very lovely Ms. Cheryl Piggies Christ with us today, who is the founder and creator of Sister Girl. And we're going to talk more about what Sister Girl does, how it came into existence, the reason behind it. But for those who may just be tuning in, Cheryl is also a survivor of both breast cancer and domestic violence. So, Cheryl, there's a lot of facets to Cheryl, and she's been spending her time the last few minutes really opening up and sharing what she saw and what she's experienced. And two points that I want to mention really quickly before we go into what Sister Girl is all about and how it came into existence. One thing you said was that you spent time with trying to tell different family members, your mom, your aunt, different ones, about your experiences when they were going on, and the fact that it was kind of a thing of normalcy. And I think that's a huge problem that we continue to have in our community, is that we still look at this thing as normal, and it's not, or it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be labeled as normal. And we shouldn't feel that we have to carry the weight of other people's insecurities on our shoulders. And for those who don't know Cheryl the way that I know Cheryl, Cheryl is very outgoing, very outspoken. She is not someone that's going to be put in a box and be categorized in a box. And so when you have someone who has that type of spirit and that type of attitude, you know, sometimes that can be very intimidating for a person, and it's much easier to try to beat you down physically or mentally or emotionally. So I just wanted to bring those points about, and for anyone who may be listening in, if you find yourself in a position of being involved with domestic abuse, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, whatever it may be, seek help. And if you find that a person is telling you that this is normal, it's okay, just deal with it, just go on through, it'll get better, then go and find someone else to talk to. Because they may be at a place where it's normal for them, or they haven't come into a certain acceptance. Maybe they just don't know any better. But abuse in any form is never okay, and it's never, ever to be accepted. And that's one of the things, and I'm going to segue my point now into Sister Girl, because Sister Girl is not about domestic violence survivors specifically, but it is an organization that is designed to inspire, engage, and change, and that's no matter what adversity you've dealt with. So with that being said, Cheryl, please tell our listening audience about Sister Girl and why you started it in the first place.
Okay, another story, once upon a time, uh, when based on some decisions I made, because, I mean, living in Memphis, I was known as Miss Cosmopolitan. I mean, I always did my own thing. Like you said, you couldn't put me in no box. I mean, that's a good observation, George. But I had lost everything I had. I had lost my condo. I lost my car. I lost my job. I had no place to stay. Even those people that I reached out to that I thought that loved me, cared for me, even my family that I thought that cared and loved for me, that kind of love did not exist. Those people that I thought that cared about me, instead of them trying to help me, only thing they started doing was talking about me, about how foolish I was, and did you know, or did you hear, and this kind of thing. And so instead of them reaching out to help me, they did not reach out to help me. But one friend girl, she just happened to call me one day, because I had basically quit calling people because I was tired of being told no. I was ashamed, you know, of this kind of thing, you know, of what had happened. So anyway, Anita called and she just said something about the way I was sounding, talking didn't sound right. And so I just finally, you know, told her, you know, that, you know, I basically didn't have no place to stay, you know, and everything I had was lost and this kind of thing. And so, anyway, Nita started, I guess you could say, pouring into me, because at that point I had no love for myself. I mean, I was at a point where the Mississippi River was looking mighty fine. So when people say mental illness and this kind of thing, you know, so you never know what a person's going through. And because I was looking together on the outside, but I was tore up on the inside. And because I was tore up on the inside, I didn't care what I looked like on the outside. So I understand how people can get through that transition. So I got people, they say, well, I don't understand. No, you don't understand because you never have been there. But for somebody that has been there, I understand. But anyway, I just started making a list of those things I would like to see happen. So Nita started pouring into me and started sharing with me that no need to be embarrassed about the decision I had made, because we all had made mistakes. It's just a matter of let's see if we can move forward. With that said,
right,
I have been studying the story of Naomi and Ruth for years. I did not understand. Now, Naomi and Ruth are biblical mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. And the book is Ruth out of the Bible. So I have been studying the story for eons and not understanding the reason why. But when I started having that conversation with Anita with some consistency, then that's when I realized what my purpose was. That's when I realized that I could still go forward, because I had lost everything that I had known. But there was something about what was being poured into me to help me understand that I had a purpose and I had an obligation, a commitment to do the same for somebody else. So thus forth, Sister Girl was birthed. So with that, we do interactive, thought-provoking, and these events or conversations, as I would like to call them, to help women understand they have a commitment to help each other to move forward. And like, you know, like you said, not necessarily DD or breast cancer, but it can be anything. It doesn't matter. And we tend to always think there has to be something that's health-related. It does not necessarily have to be. If you have a connection with somebody that needs a job and you know this particular female has that skill set, then you have an obligation to help her move into that role. I used to work in corporate America. And there used to be a time where when you moved up the ladder, you carried people with you. You helped groom them. You mentored them, this kind of thing. But because we've gotten to the place where I got mad, you just get yours, so we become selfish. You know, in our giving, we become selfish in our serving, and we want to know why people are not reaching out to us.
Right.
You have to make it comfortable for somebody to connect with you. if your conversation is not inviting, if your walk is not inviting, you know, then why should I reach out to you?
That's exactly right, and you're absolutely right. We don't do enough of that. That's one of the reasons that I enjoy Sister Girl as much as I do, is because you really do help to foster those types of relationships. I'm still connected with people that I met a year and a half ago at one of your events, and that has been a blessing for me personally and professionally, because I've actually done some work with some of these people. So I don't know if I would have met them had it not been for your event. I may have, but I don't know that. So I know for myself, these have been some wonderful events that you host. So I want to encourage you to continue doing them. And I did mention that you host these biannually. So if you would, because we're getting down to our last few minutes, so if you would tell our listening audience when you normally host them, a little bit about your last one and the one that's to come.
Okay. I host them in March because it's National Women in History Month, and I was with the first Saturday in March and then the first Saturday in October because it's BBs and Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I am a survivor of both. And I'm going to tell you just one little quick little thing. When I had my bout with breast cancer, at the same time, I was experiencing DV with my husband. So I was experiencing those two things at the same time. And so I never shared that with anybody. So that's why it's important to me that women understand that it's not necessarily just your girlfriend, but anybody. And we tend to always help and support those people in our circle, but there are people that are in our circle that are not in your circle that need to be a part of your circle. But you got to open up so they can be welcomed into the circle. So with that said, the last one I just had was Step Up Your Game. And my event's always based on a theme. The food is on the same theme, the attire, our activities. We have a speaker. We have an artist. This last one that I just had like a couple of weeks or 3 weeks ago was Gina Neely from the Food Network, and our theme was Step Up Your Game. With game stand for grace, attitude, means, and energy, which means it doesn't matter what game you're playing, regardless whether it's personally or professionally, you got to stay in the word. You got to be willing to accept the direction of other people that have been there. You got to make sure your attitude is in check. You got to make sure that your resources are available. Are you engaging? Are you connecting? Do you have all that you need so you can move forward? And then E is for energy. You got to get your rest. You got to make sure you eat right. So if you put all those letters together, it doesn't matter what game you're playing, you got to make sure that you have all those components, and they all got to be working together. So with that, our activities were centered around the attire. Was you wore your favorite baseball jersey, your basketball jersey, your jogging uniform, it didn't matter. And we pulled names out of a hat and you formed your team because you got to work as a team. You don't know everybody that's on your team. So therefore, you have to work in places where you are uncomfortable. So that's what they did. So they had a creative cheer. They had used the Sister Girl slogan, inspire, engage, and change. And they had to do a cheer using those based on the game that they pulled. So if it was basketball, they had to use hoop or 3 points or in the hoop or whatever the case may be.
Right, right.
If they pulled tennis, it was grand slam. Okay, so that was fun. Artists were Aisha Du Bois, who's an amazing saxophonist. So that's basically what we do. I mean, so it was awesome. The one is coming up in March. The theme is the color purple. We're gonna wear purple.
I love that.
And it's awesome.
I love it.
And it's based on the movie, the book, whatever you want to call it, The Color Purple.
I have already saved my
I can't wait. I'm excited. But and so that's how we operate. It's all
well,
about
you all
building our community, one girl at a time.
That's it, and that's what I was about to say. Iowa communities, one sister girl at a time, and that's what it's going to take for us to take that responsibility and accountability, be accountable for ourselves and be accountable for our sisters. I just love your theme. I regret that I was not able to attend the one that you had a couple of weeks back. But you know why I wasn't there, and there were some sister girls who were honoring me that day. And so I am extremely, still very humbled by that whole event, that the whole day of events that were surrounded with that. So as we get ready to close out, as we're down our last few minutes, I just want to have Cheryl, if you would, just take a quick minute out, let our listening audience know how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, you can find me on Twitter, which is sister_girl. My website is CherylCright.com, or IamSisterGirl.org. That's SisterGirl, or my name, Cheryl, CHERRYL, Cright, CRITE.com. On Instagram, I am SisterGirl. On Periscope is Sister Girl. If you look for any Sister Girl, but it's an A, not without the ER and no H. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, Pinterest, Google Plus, Facebook,
so in other
my
words,
website.
There is
I'm
no,
on all the
no
pepper
reason,
websites.
No reason that anybody cannot find Sister Girl, and that is SisterGirl. And that is Cheryl with two R's, CHERRYL. All of her information will be available on our site, be available on our Facebook fan page, which is Walking Into a New Life. The replay will be available within 5 to 10 minutes after this airs. So if there's something that you heard in the show that you didn't quite catch during the conversation, you are more than welcome to go back and listen to the replay and share the information with other people. Our website for Walking Into a New Life is WIANL.org. We welcome and appreciate any and all donations. Our organization is tax deductible, so your donations rather are tax deductible because we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We have our men's advocacy celebration coming up. This is our sixth year. It will be November 21st from 10 until 12 at the Church Health Center. So if you are in Memphis, Tennessee, we would love to have you come out and help us to uplift and celebrate the men in the community that advocate and work for change as well. So we have sister girls, but we have plenty of good men who are doing great work. So, Cheryl, we are down to our last minute. Do you have anything that you would like to share as we close out?
I am Sister Girl, and so are you. You have an obligation and a commitment to make sure that our community is sustainable. And the only way it can be sustainable is that you have to get involved in the work. You need to move outside your four walls, go around the corner and help somebody that does not look like you, do not act like you, so that you two can put your resources together and help change our community. We are 90% of the head of the households, so why can I not help another sister girl help get her house in order, and then we together help somebody else get their house in order, and then we help somebody else get somebody house. So it has to domino effect, but it has to start with one. So I'm asking, will you be that one? I am on a journey to inspire, engage, and change our community, one sister girl at a time. And thank you, Joyce, for having me.
Thank you so very much for being my friend, my sister girl, and for being a special guest on our radio show today. Thank you so much for those of you who have been faithful with your tuning in. We look forward to having you join us again next week for another episode of Boots on the Ground Blog Talk Radio. I am Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life,
We look forward to having you join us again next Monday. Be blessed.